Yeah, and she paid what she demanded to harm her happy. Hello, friends, family, relatives. Thank you for joining me in this next episode. Last episode, we talked a little bit about identity and thinking about who we are in this world. And at the end of the podcast, I mentioned we were going to talk a little bit about norms and how that plays a big part in our identity. And I did mention ethnocentric values, and I believe ethnocentric ethics. But I don't want to dive into that yet. What I want to do is talk a little bit about norms and how we come to understand norms, just to give you a little bit of background of me and my perspective of how norms play a big part in my life. As a young girl, I grew up on a mesa, and a lot of what I was taught, it came a lot from how my parents were raised. My mom, she was the daughter of Chester So, who was a code talker in World War II. And part of her upbringing, he passed away when she was still an infant. And so she grew up with her mom and then in the care of her grandma. And I think it's played a lot into her life of how she had her relationships and how it shaped her mindset of how relationships work. What I mean by this is she has a very healing and soothing nature about her. And one of the things that I learned from her is compassion and understanding when it comes to talking to people. For myself, I watched her do this with other people, and it's something that I've always wanted to learn how to do and to understand. I think I took a lot more of my father's side and how he understands, but from a logical perspective, and how he uses traditional teachings to help people. And so with this notion of how I grew up with watching both of my parents, helping people, talking to them, learning with them, and then just how they taught me to be, these norms play a big part in my life and how I do things. So from the beginning of time, we're taught about norms within our creation stories, and a lot of norms within our culture and our language. Even a lot of our songs sing about Hojong and Sa'an Arabic Hojong. And what this means is walking that road where you're in a place of harmony and peace. And when we're reflecting on that harmony and peace, there's always something to learn. And so, Sa'an Arabic Hojong is a process, an understanding of how we live our life according to certain principles. And I wouldn't say that it is a religion, it's more so a way of life and how we reflect who our ancestors were through these norms. And so since history has always been a big part of the way life is with different species and how much they evolve, it shows a lot through bloodlines, it shows a lot through the history of every species in existence. And through learning more about my genealogy, my history, and the generational knowledge that my parents passed down to me. I was taught about morals, ethics, values, and norms when I was very young. More than that, I was taught about what I needed in order to survive. So growing up, I went to camps to learn more about nature, learn more about how I can use natural ways of living. And part of this knowledge comes with teachings that the Dene people have. So looking at the basic knowledge of norms growing up, I've always had a big interest in wanting to learn about people and how they function and then how to help them, whether it would be holistic, Western, spiritual, or whatever it is that takes for a person to heal and to become better or grow. My parents were very great in the way that they taught me to never be biased, and they taught me to always come to the table with an open mind and an understanding because of the different backgrounds and understandings that people came to growing up. And everyone has their own certain way of being. And speaking from my experience growing up as a Dene woman, speaking my language, attending ceremony, and then creating that existence within me. In a lot of ways, this helped me to understand norms of what my responsibility was. And this shaped a lot of my Indigenous point of view, starting with my language. It was taught through my language the essentials of relationality, that sense of place that kept me grounded, and then the kinship that I had. So unknowingly, as I walked inside the Hogan, we would enter only clockwise. And so being very careful of our steps within the home, because for one, we are taught that our home is very sacred and very special place. Two, the people that you live with can also be affected by the things that you bring into the home. And so understanding that kinship, that norm of how you carry yourself, it gives you a sense of belonging and existence, a sense of purpose. And so looking at the importance of norms, it's looking at the behaviors of what it is that shaped you to understand what your perception is right now. So in traditional beliefs of the Dene people, we're taught that the language is one of the most important aspects of telling the story of who we were from the beginning. That being time immemorial and understanding the creation stories. The creation stories go way beyond man that we see every single day. And the knowledge that comes with that is how we learn to live and survive when we were first created by first man and first woman. And so looking at how every single day that we wake up, living norms on a daily basis, we can see that we get caught up in a routine. And so sometimes we go through life with this notion of a routine and never really stopping to think of what Indigenous theories we may have about our lives and how it plays a big role. Even as far as songs and prayers and language, how that foundation plays a big part in reclaiming our place in this world. So for myself as a dinner woman, the protocols that I follow and that I understand is that relationship to everything and how important it is to understand being grateful and how we're able to be grateful and show that gratitude is by singing a song, offering a prayer, understanding that our existence is very important, and then using mindfulness as a way to be a better person through these norms. And part of these norms means that we're respecting ourselves, we're respecting our communities, and you know, when I say communities, I know the first thing that comes to mind is mankind. But I say communities in a broad notion that connects us to plants, to animals, the universe at large. And then looking at how the norms play a big part in our everyday life and how we live our life. And for myself, this has brought me to a place of awareness of how my life is and where I am today. For myself, growing up with an ethics system and with these norms, I see others as more than human. For myself, watching over the past year, COVID happening, and just a lot of introspection, I see that, you know, there is a lot of hardship happening, and part of that hardship is watching how even our government doesn't value human life or the hardship that we have to go through as people. And that sense of humbleness has left our species. More than that, I have spent a fair amount of time on social media and depicting how this world works and how it functions. And I noticed that there's a lot of people chasing an aesthetic to do things without feeling. And when I look at this through the lens of energy or through the lens of our norms that ground us and keep us in this foundation, the way that I see it is, you know, you're wasting energy being in a place like that. For Dine norms, holding yourself to a higher respect and a higher honor, this was not only put in place just because we needed to know what to do or someone was trying to control us, but if you look at how we are, our nails are very round. We don't have claws. Our teeth, they can sink into flesh, but when you think about it, it's not the same as an animal. And even us now, you know, we don't have fur, we have skin, and very little hair on our skin. Not enough to keep us warm without clothing like animals. And so looking at this notion, I've come to feel like human beings are very sensitive. And there's a reason that we were given relatives like the animals and the plants and all these other ecosystems in order to help us survive. For myself, I look at the human species as a very pitiful species. When I think about this, in my mind, the reason that we're given norms is to be able to live in a good life, to have a humble sense of self. and to learn our place in this great mystery of life. And so looking at that in terms of how our perspective has changed, there has been a big change. And so looking at how Indigenous people have this perspective of what we should be, and they have these norms and values. What does that really mean? For myself, I have definitely searched hard and deep into trying to understand what this means. And it's brought me to the saying of Saint-Noël de and the philosophy of this, the nature of knowledge and what Saint-Noël means, is this way of how you treat yourself, how you treat others, and how you walk this way of life while you're here in this physical world. The connection that you have with yourself reflects how you treat other people. And that's one thing that my dad had always told me. And for myself, I was very immersed in traditional teaching. I was very fortunate, and I know how fortunate I was to be immersed in that. And so, looking at norms and how that plays a big part in our lives, what were the norms that you were brought up with? For myself, I was brought up with this notion of emanating Hojo. So in the Diné philosophical aspects of human growth and development, we have norms that are set in place. And before I go into this, I want to say that these are some of my personal ideas and beliefs, and you know, I'm mostly sharing an Indigenous perspective from my perspective. And I've had many talks with other Indigenous people that have agreed with me, and I want to apologize if I'm overstepping my boundaries, but I also want to be able to create a bridge to help others understand and to be able to articulate the understanding of norm, Indigenous perspective. I think that it's very important for us all to be on the same understanding and not continuing the narrative of going back and forth of who's right and who's wrong. What I am trying to do is bridge this gap. And so, moving into norms. The first norm that I learned is Mensakis. Mensakis has to do with your mind and how you're able to realize and reflect and to think for yourself, essentially. So why is this important? When we're a baby and we're growing in our mother's stomach, one of the first things that we've developed is our brain. And then comes our heart. So when we look at it in this light of understanding the development of a child, and soft kiss comes first because that is the first thing that we need to work on. For myself, being a mother and understanding how life, bringing life into this world, how my baby develops within my stomach, that understanding of the beginning, the thought process of bringing a life into this world, thinking about it, planning for it, and then praying for it, and bringing the baby into this world. A lot of that takes a lot of thought. And when a child is given that much thought, they come out with a very stable and a sense of foundation of why they're there, a sense of purpose. So thought is very powerful. And there's a lot of people who do say this. And even in the NAF way of life, we say that be careful what you think. Because this has a lot of power to create things or to create situations. So that's why it's important. There's a lot more, but I think that's good. And then the second one is Nahata, which is our process of achieving and planning. And so when we're able to move out of the thought process, we begin to plan and understand how things are made. And so going back to that notion of how a child is brought into this world, after their brain develops, their heart starts beating. And so their heart starts planning for their body and how much blood needs to circulate, how their body's going to function. And it's the same way with us, putting your heart into your planning, being able to understand how much effort and how much discipline you want to put into that planning process. The third one is Ina. This part is understanding the awareness and responsibility that you have over life. So after you come from the baby's heart, now you have to put it into action. The things that you do during pregnancy and bringing that life into this world, all the way down to the way you eat, the way you speak, the situations you put yourself in. All of these things play a big part in bringing life into this world. When we think about norms, it's as precious as that. It's as precious as bringing life into this world. And the last one is Sihasin, which is the engaging and ongoing process of self-awareness and reflection. So being able, once the baby's born, reflecting that whole time of what you did in order to achieve that your baby was at its healthiest, that you were at your healthiest, or maybe your partner was at their healthiest. This is a process that you can make as a ritual every single day. Begin your thought process of what you want to do. Plan how it's going to be. Put your whole heart into it. And then thirdly, always do it with the notion of having that respect and knowing how precious life is. And the last one, always being grateful and making sure that you, well, in in that perspective, we always pray. We give an offering before, and we give an offering after. And so those two key components, being able to reflect. This is a big part of our responsibility and how you become more coherent and accountable for the things that you know or your actions. So this is the way I understand Indigenous norms or Diné norms. These life principles that make up this concept of Khojong, a beautiful way of living, and then leading you to that pedagogy of love and happiness. And so we can see now how norms play a big part in our life and how the importance of life is looked at as something precious. One of the things that my dad had always told me was that when I was brought into this world, there was a lot of thought put into me, put into my name, and every time I see him, every time I talk to him, it never fails. He always tells me, take care of your life. And what that means is taking care of yourself. And so by learning these norms, I learned how to think for myself, how to plan my life, how to do it with respect of understanding that all life is precious, and that taking care of oneself and taking care of a community, they're both equivalent. And so looking at how this plays a big part in my self-esteem or the confidence that I go into things, these norms help me recognize how I'm able to accomplish and have confidence in myself and the things that I do. And so using this as a daily ritual, beginning your day, leading by, or putting down your words and then leading by your actions, and then reflecting throughout the day. As children, we go through this process of conditioning, and that's where I got these norms. This is how I understand life and how I apply it, and then how I use it to teach my children too. So by using these ethics, this is a foundational understanding of what is important, and understanding where we can find common ground in what these concepts mean. Norms are an important day of everyday time. Norms are an important part of our everyday life. We're constantly pressured by norms of the outside world, norms of other people, our communities, and our own home life, whoever lives with us. But I think that when you find yourself grounded in a place, you're able to find your support system and to create your foundation. And so when we face challenges and looking at how society is right now, this has the ability to keep you grounded and connected to what's right for you. So when you're listening closely to yourself and the norms that you were brought up, or, you know, maybe you take something from what I said today in my podcast. What I want you to think about are, what are my norms? What are my values? What do I stand for? In everyday life, these questions require us to know and to consider obligations to ourselves and to others. And a lot of these decisions require action. So an important part of forming your character as a person that uses norms, or maybe a person that uses your ethics and your values, this is an everyday process. And when we think to ourselves, how well are we equipped to handle these situations, and reflect on these norms and how they play a big part in our life. For myself, it's a constant practice, and I'm not a perfect person, but I'm always happy to change and grow. And for myself, I think that these norms really help me to shape myself to be disciplined in what I want, and also to find basic humanism, to see people as people, and to have compassion and caring. It's something my mom always had, and that took me a while to grasp. And so understanding that this isn't a map that solves all of the problems in the world, but it might help you, and maybe you want to share it with somebody. But a big part of this is just looking at how important norms are to you, or how important your norms are to you. So looking at this through the light of what it means to live a good life. When my dad told me to take care of myself, I never really understood that when I left home at 17, when I went to college. But as I'm growing and I've had children, it put me in a state of mind where I now say that to my own children. And for myself as a young child, I was told a lot about changing women and about Yokai's son, the white shell woman, and a lot of these female deities that are in representation of women. For myself, starting when I was young and learning how to be a young woman, learning to cook, to clean, build fire in my home, and keep things order in my household, the way that I look at this was that I needed to be control in my environment, learning how to take care of myself. When I was cold, how to build a fire. When my house started getting messy, and even now, have much. And it might be because I grew up not really having a lot either. But trying to keep my household in order, I think that's a big part. Having the discipline to clean up after myself and to keep things nice. How norms play a big part in this is making sure that, you know, in order to have an open mind, a clear mind, you have to have a clean space. I read somewhere that the way your home looks is a reflection of your mind. And for myself, I notice that when I am in really deep thought, or my mind is a bit scattered, so is my home. And this might be only true for me, but I have noticed that correlation. And so, learning how to take care of myself. I would say that how I grew up was the closest I could ever live to an ancestral way of living. I learned how to butcher, I learned how to sustain myself through planting with my parents, living off the land. One of my favorite things to eat was yucca fruit. My dad told me stories of how they would put them in the ground and cook them. And I've always wanted to try that. I only tried it on a grill, but I will try that one day. And then learning how to use herbs, and not just that, the protocol of what you need to do before and after. And then structuring my life around ceremony and understanding how the things that I was being taught, these are all norms that structured my foundational thinking. And so looking at how graceful and how strong these Dinant deities were, that's exactly what I wanted to embody. Collaborating these norms of Keh and that relationship that I have with that. Connecting my mind and Sakin, my planning, knowing how precious life is and my responsibility to it. And then my prayers, being able to reflect. This all gave me a structure to where I was able to understand being grounded. So for every Indigenous person or non-Indigenous person, I think that you can understand how these concepts work. And so the best way to explain how norms work is through Dinant philosophy of how I learned growing up. Looking at how relationships are a big part of our foundational thinking. Learning how our relationship with ourselves. That's the first thing that we have to work on in order to relate to anything else, in order not to harm anything else. Learning that kinship and mutual respect between person to person or other ecosystems. From my understanding, I was taught that everything was created with a purpose. A lot of the species that were made before us they were made to help us, to help us survive, to help us to live, and to prosper. And our agreement there was to be able to live a good life, to have gratitude. And so understanding our contribution in this circle of life, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of exploring. It takes a lot of trial and error. So I would say be kind to yourself. You're not going to learn it in one day, in one sitting. For myself, I was always taught that you always have room to grow. And so growing up with my siblings, you know, I've had many talks with them and I've seen how much they've grown. Learning how to understand these ways of life now and how traditional teachings kind of contradict those teachings. I'm still trying to understand and see this world. And to be honest, it is a very intriguing journey. And sometimes it is a very challenging one. But I think that even there, that vulnerability is important. I feel that there is a lack of transparency and authenticity in this world. And sometimes that takes us out of positionality and knowing yourself. And I think by knowing myself and learning how these norms play a big part, it has gotten me out of a lot of situations that weren't good for me and have landed me in places that were good for me. And so what I want to leave you with tonight is that there are so many beautiful and wonderful things in this world and so much to discover about yourself. When you are sitting here listening to this and trying to connect to what I am trying to say, I would say study yourself. Know yourself. Spend time filling yourself up with unconditional love, with positive words. And maybe if you didn't understand anything that I was saying, listen to it again. Ask somebody. And don't judge yourself too harshly, because for you and me, we're learning little by little. And when we look at ourselves as this masterpiece, no one else can create you. And what I mean by that is no one else is going to chip the pieces off to make you into that masterpiece that you are trying to create. You become whole on your own by using these tools, and understand that you are not a half. So don't look for another half to complete you. Highlight your own qualities and make sure you're doing things that you truly desire and that you really want to do. So I'll see you back here again. And we'll talk a little bit more on ethics this time. Thank you for being here. Hagone.